Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your name. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you that you are with us this morning. And so, Father, prepare our hearts to hear from you as we submit our hearts and our minds, ourselves to you this morning. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Take your seats this morning. I know most of you know who I am, but for someone who is not originally from here, not born in Australia, I understand that it's not hard to figure that out. It shows in my accent, right? It's a bit out there. It was more so when in the early years when my accent, it was a little bit way thicker than what it is now. But I think I'm almost there. I think I'm almost there. It's not too bad. But if you know me, you know me that it's not hard for me to strike up a conversation with new people or strangers, for that matter, at the sports field or at the kids' parks or down at the shops. During these chats, what I've noticed, most times people would feel comfortable enough to ask questions about me, about where I'm from and where or when did I get here, and so on. And to all these questions, there's a much simple, you know, straightforward answers. There's no problems about that. Except for one, when people ask or say this, well, there must have been such a culture shock for you to be here. And to this one, there's not a straightforward answer. I mean, there is, inside me, I'm almost saying, lady, you've got no idea. You've got no clue as to what kind of culture shock I've received. You know, it's a shock and a half for me. But you don't want to spill everything out to the stranger, the person you've just met. You just want to be polite and you go, yeah, nah. Hey, see that? I told you I'm almost there. Yeah, nah. It was all right. It's not too bad. You try and leave it there. But out of the many things that you try to adapt to or try to grasp your head around, one thing that I couldn't understand at first, aka culture shock, and that was being invited to functions or, you know, a Friday night party, a barbecue especially. And in the message, in the text message, it would say, you're invited to come, BYO. BYO. It could be BYO drinks, or it could be BYO meat, or salad, or dessert. Now, please, you got to hear my heart here. If you have invited someone for a barbecue for this afternoon, and you've typed a similar type of message, I am absolutely fine with that. I am fully fine with that. I understand. Now I know now what that means. So please, you know, go ahead. I've adapted to that culture and I understand. Or you may be thinking of inviting me for this evening, you know, for a barbecue. And you've typed the message and you've typed BYO as well. Hey, listen, don't delete that message. It's okay. You can send that off to me after the service, but that's fine. You know, I fully understand. I know what that means now. And whoever came with that, actually, I've used that myself in the past 18 years I've been here. I've used that, and it's one of the greatest things that people have created. So whoever's created that, great. Good on you. I love that. But the concept of BYO was totally foreign to me. Or even this one, you know, portion control. And I know that I can go with a little bit of portion control myself. But portion control, when you go to the house and you know, they'll probably ask you, hey, listen, what would you like? Would you like steak or lamb? And so, oh, is there an option? And so one steak for you, one sausage for you, a corn and an asparagus, and that's it. You're done. Listen, that was totally foreign to me. And again, nothing wrong with that. It's great, and I respect that. But our version of preparing a barbecue would be bring out the biggest basin you've got. You know, when I say basin, it's almost the same size, the one that you bathe your babies in, only rounder. You bring that basin out and you chuck all your meats in there and you chuck your chili, your garlic, your ginger, bit of curry powder. See, now that's foreign to you. But hey, you can't go wrong with curry powder in everything, right? Yeah, you got to have a bit of a curry in there. And so you marinate it, and that's your version of a barbecue that I'm used to, I grew up with. Now, on the table, when it comes time to the table, you know, there's no shortage of food. It needs to just keep coming. And it's our job. As kids, it was our job when we were sitting down on the table to keep an eye out on the visitors. As soon as their plate hits empty, here you go, some more. Here you go, some more. There's more there. And so the plate is never left empty. It's funny, you see in an Indian family, the visitors will go, no, I'm done. And so we will go, no, take some more, take some more. So there's two ways, there's one word, no, but they both have two different meanings when you are at the table. And I think that's funny. And at the end of this as well, there's got to be enough leftover so you can pack and send with whoever's there. You know, that's us. That was us. I don't do that anymore. No, I'm just joking. This morning, as we again look at the theme of blessed life, I want to look at three separate incidents, three separate miracles, if you like, in the Word of God, where food was multiplied. Food was multiplied. Families were saved and provided for through these miracles. But in all these miracles, the Word of God teaches us a few things that we can take away. Few things that we can take away this morning. And a few keys that we can apply to our incredibly blessed lives that we have in Christ today. And continue to faithfully and diligently walk in this Christ life. So if you're taking notes this morning, I have titled my message, There's Plenty More Where That Came From. There's Plenty More Where That Came From, starting in Mark chapter 8, verses 14 to 21. And it says, Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread with them, except for one loaf of flatbread. And as they were sailing across the lake, Jesus repeatedly warned them, Be on your guard against the yeast inside the Pharisees and the yeast inside of Herod. What Jesus was talking about. So they began to discuss it amongst themselves, saying, Is he saying this because we forgot to bring bread? Knowing what they were thinking, Jesus said to them, Why all the fussing over forgetting to bring bread? Do you still not see or understand what I say to you? Are your hearts still hard? You have good eyes, yet you still don't see. You have good ears, yet you still don't hear. Neither do you remember. When I multiplied the bread to feed more than 5,000 people, how many baskets full of leftovers did you gather afterwards? 12, they replied. And when I multiplied food to feed over 4,000, how many large baskets full of leftovers did you gather afterwards? 7, they replied. Then how is it that you still don't get it? I was talking to someone and I said this, I love Mark's style of writing because he's someone who is on the go. If you read the gospel according to Mark, one story to another. And even in this passage, we find, as we've read, that there's a there's a few things that is going on, and if you go home and read this gospel, you'll see that there's a few things that has happened before we got to this point. And here's what's happened so far. Jesus sets the scene by feeding 4,000 plus, and it is safe to multiply that number by 3. That would include the women and the children. This crowd has been with Jesus for 3 days without food, listening to his teachings, getting healed. It's all happening when Jesus is around. And Jesus is concerned about our spiritual health as well as our physical health, as we read and we find out about that in the Gospel of Mark. And he is the one who meets both those needs. Jesus fed the multitude that were there. His crew now and him himself get in the boat to go to another spot, only to find that the Pharisees are there waiting for him with their new attack, demanding a sign from Jesus to prove that his authority comes from God, and that his authority is from God and not from anyone else or anything else. As if they didn't see what was going on at that time. As if they haven't seen enough. This time around, then Jesus leaves them with nothing. He gives them nothing and hops back on the boat. And as we have read, it feels like, and I would use today's language to translate as to what Jesus is trying to say. He's got on the boat and says, "Man, can you believe it, guys? Can you believe it? Can you just understand what those guys are going on about, guys? I can't believe it, mate. I can't. And so just be careful. Be careful with them lot. Just be mindful with them lot. A little yeast can affect the whole batch. And if you're around them, if you're with them, they will cause you to stumble. And I don't want that for you or for anyone else for that matter." But here's the disappointing part. The trusted disciples, what they do? Miss the point. And they translate this, Jesus' warning, into their frustration that they have forgotten to bring more than one loaf of bread. It says in verse 16, and they ask this question, is he saying this because we forgot to bring bread? That was where they were stuck at this point in time. Something that jumped out from this passage of Scripture as I was reading through this passage is the question that the disciples, that they've put forward to each other. And I want to highlight this to all of us this morning, is that they definitely, for that moment, forgot. They forgot. Not only did they forget to bring more bread, but they forgot with whom they were traveling with. They forgot, as we read on, and Jesus was sure enough to remind them, they forgot the leftovers from the first feeding of the masses. They forgot the 12 baskets of leftovers. They forgot the 7 baskets of leftovers. They forgot that there's always plenty more where those blessings came from. Psalm 103, verses 1 to 5 says this, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." In order to live in the fullness of all that God has for us, all that He has provided for us in Christ Jesus, we gotta take hold of what His Word says. Forget not all of God's benefits. Here's what I've learned over the years when I'm with my walk in the Lord. The blessings you don't know about, or the ones you forget about, are the blessings you won't enjoy. And one way we can be sure enough to miss out is, and we find this in Jesus' rebuke when He's talking to the disciples, is having perfectly good eyes and ears, seeing or hearing. God's Word is full of blessings for you. God's way of saying to us, there's plenty more in here for you. But the only way to take advantage of those benefits is to find out what God's Word has to say about them. And believe in His promises for you, because these promises are true. While we enjoy this blessed life, this ride that we have in the boat with Jesus, we can't afford to be in a place of absent-mindedness, ignorance, of forgetfulness of all that God has done for us. As Christians, we can't fail at making all of yesterday's experiences today's testimony. And that happens when we actually or continually remember to act on those promises in our today, everyday life. Here's the second miracle this morning. And let me read to you from 2 Kings 4, verses 1 to 7. One day, the widow of a member of the group of prophets came to Elisha and cried out, "My husband who served you is dead. And you know how he feared the Lord. But now a creditor has come, threatening to take my two sons as slaves. What can I do to help you?" Elisha asked. "Tell me, what do you have in the house?" "Nothing at all, except a flask of olive oil," she replied. And Elisha said, "Borrow as many empty jars as you can from your friends and neighbors. Then go into your house with your sons and shut the door behind you. Pour olive oil from your flask into the jars, setting each one aside when it is filled." So she did as she was told. Her sons kept bringing jars to her, and she filled one after another. Soon every container was full to the brim. "Bring me another jar," she said to one of her sons. "There aren't any more," he told her, and then the olive oil stopped flowing. When she told the man of God what had happened, he said to her, "Now sell the olive oil and pay your debts, and you and your sons can live on what is left over." When I read this story, it kind of reminds me of someone who in today's world is a faithful Christian, a faithful servant of God. Again, someone who knows the Lord well, has helped with the Lord. And she knows, or he knows, what needs to be done when they are in deep trouble. Like this woman, she first turned to the Lord. She turned to the Lord's prophetic voice at that time, Elisha, and turned to the Lord because she knew that only the Lord could help her at where she was. She had no idea of how the Lord could help her, but she knew that He could. She just knew at that point. And it's not too hard for God to come into our situation right now. She was in a state of hopelessness with her two kids. In those days, it was the creditors were going to come and take the sons away. She had no hope, but she turned to the Lord. And this woman, the story teaches us that the provision of the Lord, his ability to help is unlimited. No doubt, as we know, as we find out, that even though, and we know here on this side of the story, we know that even though she stopped bringing the jar, we know that there was plenty more where that came from. No doubt the oil would have continued to flow from the jar if she would have had more vessels. After she would have seen what had happened, she was probably sorry that she didn't borrow even more of them. There was no limit to the supply of our Lord. The only limit was the number of vessels the widow borrowed. And the only limit was the faith of that widow. I'm reminded of this story, and I'm sure most of you would have watched this movie. It's called Hacksaw Ridge. And when I read this story, it kind of pointed me to this guy called Desmond Doss. And you must be aware of this guy. You know, he was a soldier, a person who didn't arm himself with the gun. And he went into battle. And there was a point in that movie that we see that he's all by himself. He is in the point of hopelessness. But he calls out on the Lord. He calls out on our God. It's like bringing an empty jar to the Lord. God, I don't know what I'm going to do. God, I don't know what is going to happen. I'm here by myself, but I'm bringing this empty jar to you. Lord, help me. Give me one more. Give me one more. And so what the Lord does, he fills the jar up for Desmond Doss. In terms of a person coming and him saving a person in that moment. It was not just one jar. It was not just two jars. In the 12-hour stint of that battle, it was 75 people that he got to save in that moment. It was because of his faith in the Lord. And he kept bringing one after another a person. That was his empty jar, bringing to the Lord, not knowing how it's going to happen, but it is possible for God. God doesn't just want us to casually live through the blessed life that he has for us. He wants to increase our capacity while we are at it. He was wanting to see each one of us bring an empty jar to him and say, God, I'm not convinced. I'm not going to stay at this place of my faith because I know you can fill another empty jar of my faith and increase my faith in you. We should always remember that the Lord is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think. The only limit is us and our faith. And finally, this morning, as I get the musician to come and join me, our scripture is found in 1 Kings 17, verses 8 to 16. Then the Lord said to Elijah, go and live in the village of Zarephath, where the city of Sidon, in the city of Sidon, I have instructed a widow there to feed you. So he went to Zarephath. As he arrived at the gates of the village, he saw a widow gathering sticks. And he asked her, what would you please bring a little cup, or a little water in a cup? And as she was going to get it, he called to her, bring me a bite of bread too. But she said, I swear by the Lord, your God, that I don't have a single piece of bread in the house. And I have only a handful of flour left in the jar and a little cooking oil in the bottom of the jar. I was just gathering a few sticks to cook this last meal, and then my son and I will die. But Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. Go ahead and do just what you've said. But make a little bread for me first. Then use what's left to prepare a meal for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. There will always be flour and olive oil left in your containers until the time when the Lord sends rain and the crops grow again. So she did as Elijah said. And she and Elijah and her family continued to eat for many days, there was always enough flour and olive oil left in the containers, just as the Lord had promised through Elijah. Another case of there's plenty more where that came from. We've heard this message a number of times. You see, living a blessed life means living on the rewards of obedient faith. For the woman, it was her last meal. The love of her child and her own hunger must have made it hard to obey the words of the prophet. But the seed which was sown in faith brought back a thousandfold. God's call to sacrifice for His service is the path to plenty, not to loss. There is plenty more where that came from. As we continue to live this blessed life that we have in Christ, we have to make sure that we, as His children, as His followers, don't forget His benefits in our lives. As we continue to live this blessed life, we have to make sure that we bring an empty jar, increase our faith capacity, because the Lord is able to fill that to the brim. And as we sacrificially sow, we know that God is able to bring a thousandfold. And it's often easy to grab faith-filled messages out of the incredible stories that we've heard this morning, these messages, the scriptures that we've read. That God is our provider. There's enough for everyone. There's leftovers for us in His kingdom. But what I don't want us to forget, that we don't get carried away focusing on the blessed life. That we don't get too carried away focusing on the provision, that we forget about our provider. And this morning, I want us to take this moment as the heads are bowed. God has given us a wonderful life in Christ Jesus, an eternal life. We don't want to be people who's too focused on the provision that we forget about the provider. So as you take the cup that we have, the emblems, we're going to take communion. And this humbling thing that we hold in our hands, should take our focus to the thing done this morning. I want us to take this time to remind ourselves by partaking in communion together that we truly have a blessed life. We are recipients of God's grace, and it's all through Jesus. Let's bless the Lord. Remind ourselves of all of His benefits. We remind ourselves that when we repent of our sins, accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, that He forgives all our iniquities. He heals all our diseases. He redeems our life from all destruction. He crowns you and I with His loving kindness and tender mercies. And He satisfies us with His salvation. Father, we focus on You, Lord Jesus. As we hold this piece of bread, we remind ourselves of the greatest miracle miracle of salvation. God in flesh came, died upon that rugged cross, His body broken, His blood shed for the forgiveness of sin. Father, we take hold of You this morning and the blessed life that You have given us. We can never forget what You have done for us, and we focus on You and You alone as we partake this morning. All praise, all honor, all glory is to You. Let's stand to our feet this morning as we partake and as the worship team leads us. Thank You, Lord.